Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed. We're going to begin about 8 lines down from the top at the two dots. We're learning today for a number of people. We're learning Le'ili Nishmas Florence Kilson, Fegaleya Bazev, Anna Cantor, Henna Bas David Meyer, Judith Ehrenberg, Yehudis Bas Yosef, Jacob Neustadter, Yaakov Noach Ben Shraga Feivel, and Zoltan Beck, Gedalia Ben Yisrael. All the shows we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up at the two dots, Lamed Omer Aleph. Ad Heichen Chayev Adam Lamed Es Bino Torah. How far, so to say, does a person have to go to teach his son Torah? So the Gemara says, Omer Yehuda Meshmur, Yehuda says the name of Shmur, Kigon Zulun Ben Don. This was the name of a person. Rashi says he was a Talmud Shoyi Bideim. This was a person that was known to them. This has nothing to do with the Shvatim of Zulun and Devan. This was the name of a person, Zulun Ben Don. And his grandfather taught him everything just about. Kigon Zulun ben Don, Shalimdo Avi Aviv, his father's father, his grandfather taught him Mikra, which is Chumash. He taught him Mishnah, Mishnayis, the Talmud, that's the understanding of the Gemara, how to explain the different ideas in the Mishnah, how to reconcile different Mishnayis, Halachos, how to Paskin Halacha Lamaisa, and Viagados in the various Agadata type Gemaras and Memory Chazal. So this is what Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul said. That's how far you have to go. More questions. He says, really? Meisir, we have another brisa that seems to say the father has no obligation to teach his son more than Chumash. Lindu Mikra, Ein Melamdo Mishnah. As Rashi explains, if the father taught the son the Chumash, the basic Chumash, so then, Ein Chovas Beno Olav, then the father doesn't have a requirement, of course he's allowed to, but he doesn't have a requirement to teach his son El B'mikro, except Chumash. Mikan Ve'elech, anything beyond that, Yelamid Huliatzma, if the father either doesn't have the time, ability, or the money to do so, so then it's the son's problem, so to say, he has to go learn, but it's not on the father's dime. So therefore, this Brisa seems to argue with the review that Mishmul said, look what Zulun Ben Don did, his grandfather taught him everything. So, Amar Rabba, Mikra Zu Torah. Rabba said that this Mikra is just Chumash. It doesn't mean anything else. So therefore, we have a stira from the Brisa on what Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said. So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. When Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel said, you have to go and teach Ad Heichon Kigon Zvulun Ben Don, it was in some ways like Zvulun Ben Don. However, in other ways, V'lo Kizvulun Ben Don. It wasn't like Zvulun Ben Don. What does that mean? It was like Kizvulun Ben Don in Shalim Do Avi Aviv. The grandfather had an obligation to teach him. So too, grandfathers in general have an obligation to teach their grandchildren. Now, it wasn't like Zulun Ben Don, but Loka Zulun Ben Don in terms of how much he taught him. Dilu Hasam, the grandfather of Zulun Ben Don, Dilu Hasam Mikra Mishnah V'Talmud Halachos Yagados, the grandfather was so nice, he taught him everything. However, in this price of Ilu Hacha Mikra Levad, the only obligation is, however, to have taught him just Chumash. Now, our question is this as well. The Avi Aviv Mimchayev, does a grandfather really have a responsibility to teach his grandson? But Tanya, we learned in another Brisa, the Pasuk says, Limanitem Osam Es Beneichem, that the father has an obligation to teach his son, the implication being, Velo Benei Veneichem, and not the grandson. So therefore, how can you tell me that the grandfather has such an obligation? This Pasuk seems to say, no, it's only an obligation of the father to the son, but there is no obligation on the grandfather to teach the grandson. What about the following pasuk? Umani Makayim. How do you go and explain the following pasuk, which says, "Vodatam levanecha v'levnevanecha"? They had to go tell your son and your grandson. That seems to imply that there is an obligation to go teach your grandson. So that is explained. Lo malucha. That's to come to teach us. Shekol ha'malamid is bino Torah. If you teach your son Torah, it says if mala lo hakasim. It's if Hakadosh Baruch Hu says ki ilu limdo lo. Will live no, will abandon no. It's as if you taught not only yourself, but your son and your grandson. Atzov kaladoros. And this will be transmitted down. When you teach your son successfully, so then he'll teach his son, and he'll teach his son, and he'll teach his son. So that's what the pasuk means. If you teach your son properly, so then that will be transmitted for all future generations. But obligation, no. According to this brisa, there is no obligation for a grandfather to teach his grandson. So again, the kasha returns on Rav Yehuda Meshmul. How can you say that a grandfather is obligated to go teach his grandson? So Shmuel would say as follows. Yehuda Mashmuel says, "Who the Amar ki hai Tana?" He says like the following opinion. The Tanya learns this other way. He says, "Limaritim also mes b'neichem." So only el b'neichem. That would teach me that a father only has an obligation to teach his son. How do we know b'nei b'neichem inayim that a grandfather also has an obligation to teach his grandson? Not only the father to the son, but the grandfather to the grandson. Talmud Loma, because the pasuk says, "Odatim levanecha levanecha." Ah. That's where you learn out that the grandfather does have an obligation to teach his grandson. Nu, imkein, matam ulomer b'neichem. Then what about the first pasuk we brought down? L'manatim osam es b'neichem. So that was teaching us b'neichem, we had said before, and not b'nei b'neichem. But here we don't learn it that way. So according to this drasha, when it says that you have an obligation, l'manatim osam es b'neichem, as opposed to b'neichem, as opposed to v'lo b'noseichem, and not your daughters. As we pointed out yesterday's year, there is no obligation for daughters to learn Torah. And therefore, this pasuk, the way this other Tana derives it, is that you have an obligation for a grandfather to teach a grandson, but there is no obligation from a father to a daughter. Now, Amar Rishuven Levi, Rishuven Levi said, Kol Malamid is ben beno Torah. If you teach your grandson Torah, ma'alav al-kasuk ilu kibla mehar Sinai. It's in that situation, when you teach your grandson, it's as if you got it from Har Sinai. The Torah that you're teaching him is as if you got it directly from Har Sinai. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, V'odatim levanecha v'levnei v'necha et nesamich lei, right next to that pasuk, which teaches us you have to teach your grandchildren, it says, Yom asher amadet levnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. The day you stood before Har Kodesh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai, Har Chorev is Har Sinai. And therefore, the juxtaposition of these two teaches us the importance of the teaching of the grandfather to the grandson is like you got it at Har Sinai. Furthermore, Rav Chiya bar Abba, one time, Ashkel Rav Shur ben Levi, Deshade Disna Areshe. He saw, Rav Chiya bar Abba saw that Rav Shur ben Levi was rushing. He was in a rush to take, as we'll see, a little child to school. So he put on a covering on his head that wasn't the typical suitor that a Talmud Chacham wore, but he was in a rush to get out of the house. He didn't want to go out bareheaded, and therefore he went out. As Rashi says, he put on a sodin she'ena roya latifa sarosh. He put on some sort of a kerchief that wasn't normally used for covering up your head. Elakisa b'yamo, would be like a yarmulke that he just put on his head. Al rosho shelo lelech b'gilui rosh, so he didn't walk out with an uncovered head. And he didn't have time, because he was in a rush to take the kid to school, he didn't have time to put on his proper head covering, so he put on some sort of another head covering just to get him by. And he was bringing this young child. The stomach was his grandson, because that's what we're talking about over here, the importance of teaching a grandchild. So he brought this little child, this little grandchild, to the Beit Knishta, to the shul, where he would go and learn Torah. So when Rav Chiya bar Abba saw this, he said, "Amalei, my kuli hai, what's your rush? What's going on over here?" So Amalei, so Yeshua Levi told him, "Mar mi zutar my dechsiv, is it such a small thing that which is written for datum levanecha v'levnei vanecha? Is that such a small thing to you? The somachlei yom asher amartel le'ashem lekecha v'chorev, which is compared, as we just said, to the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai on Har Chorev. So therefore, why wouldn't I rush? Of course, I want to rush to go and fulfill this beautiful idea." No, Rav Chiya bar Abba learned from this, and Mikan Be'elech, from here on in, Rav Chiya bar Abba lo toim umtsa ad mikre liyanuka umosvei. So from that moment in time and on, Rav Chiya bar Abba saw the importance of teaching your grandchild, and therefore he wouldn't taste umtsa. Umtsa is a certain type of, like a roasted piece of meat. As Rashi says, this would be a typical breakfast for them, like some sort of a sausage or something that he would have at breakfast. Basa ma'at, Rashi says, b'chalom, some sort of a barbecue. So hayu regilin litol baboker, that was their normal breakfast food that they would have. He wouldn't taste that even until he went over, ad-demakri liyanuka, until he went over the psukim that his little grandchild had learned the day before, umosve, and even added on an additional pasuk as well. Similarly, rabba baravuna, lotoim umtsa, ad-demaisi liyanuka, lebe midrasha. Similarly, rabba baravuna also wouldn't taste any of this breakfast meat, this barbecued meat in the morning, until he brought his child to the Beis Medrash to go and learn. Okay, again, Mustafa, the Yanukas over here are talking about grandchildren, because that's what we were discussing. Technically, Yanuka means just a young child. Then the Gemara continues, says, Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Rav Shuvan Chananya. Rav Safra said his name, Rav Shuvan Chananya. What does the pasuk mean? Ma'idachsiv, Vishinantam Livanecha. What does it mean? How do we darshan this word? Vishinantam. It's a strange lashon, and you shall go and teach to your children. Why didn't it just say, Vishonisim. Why did it have the extra nun, Vishinantum, instead of Vishonisim, Levonecha? So he darshan, Al Tikre Vishinantum. Don't read it as it sounds, that you shall go over it again to be repeating it one time, learn it the first time, and then learn it a second time. Ella Vishilashtum, the extra nun here, is to teach us to go and learn it three times. Now, what does that mean? So he darshan that Liolam Yishalish Odim Shinosov. A person should divide up his life into three segments. The first segment is Shlish B'mikra, first to learn Chumash. The second segment of your life, Shlish B'mishta, go learn Mishnah. And the third segment of your life, Shlish B'talmud. More questions this and says, really? The person knows exactly how long he's going to live, then he can say, okay, the first, he's going to live to be 120. First 40 years, I'll learn Chumash. The next 40 years, I'll learn Mishnah. The last 40 years, I'll go and learn Gemara. What? Everybody can do that? That's ridiculous. Mi yodei kamachai. Nobody knows how long they're going to live, so how can you possibly do this? So the Gemara says, lo tzricha. What it's really telling us over here is liyome. The way Rashi understands this is you divide up each week into Yemei HaShavua, into Sunday and Monday, you go learn Chumash. Tuesday and Wednesday, you go and learn Mishnah. And Thursday and Friday, you go and learn Gemara. So therefore, that's the way a person should go and break things up. A shlish b'mikra, a shlish b'mishnah, a shlish b'talmud by breaking up each week. Tosus doesn't like this. Tosus says, in this situation, who knows that you're going to live out the week? And therefore, Tosus says that we're dealing here with each day, and you should divide up each day. He says, you divide up each day. You learn a third of each day. Okay. Then Tosus brings down the very common custom that we have, brings down Al-Kain, T-Kain, B'Seder of Amram Gon, from the Seder of Rav Amram Gon, K'mosh Anunogim B'chol Yom, before we say Pesukim Zimra, we have the Karbanos section. And in the Karbanos section, you have Pesukim Mikra, you have Mishnah, and you have Gemara. So we have the Mishnayis over there, and then we have Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Rabbi Shlosh, Limidus, Hatorah, Nidrash, Nesban. So this is a mixture of both Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. And that's how we accomplish doing this every day. Furthermore, he brings out from the Rabbeinu Tam, he says, today we're so mech also that when we learn Gemara, Gemara is a mixture of both Mikra, Mishnah and Gemara, and therefore we can fulfill this idea by learning Gemara. Then the more continues. I'm not sure I understand why the next word is lefikach, because it's not directly related to previously, but in any event, lefikach, therefore, nikru rishonim sofrim. Therefore, these early Talmidei Chachamim were known as sofrim, because they would go and count things. Show you sofrim, kol osio shebetorah. For example, they counted up all the letters that are in the Torah. For example, Shayu Omrim, they would say that the Vav in the word Gachon, there's a pasuk in Shmini which says, Kol Holech Al Gachon, Holech Al Arba, and then it says, Lo Sochlum Kishek Etzem. So the word Gachon there, the Vav in Gachon is written bigger, and he says that letter Vav, Chetziyav Shalosio Shal Sefer Torah, is the halfway point for the letters of a Sefer Torah. And when we have the pasuk Darosh Darash, which is a pasuk that we have Veisir HaTos, also in Shmini, Veisir HaTos, Darosh Darash Moshe, Vinei Sarov. So the words Darosh Darash are the halfway point, Chetzim Shel Tevos, the halfway point of the Torah's words. And then we have another pasuk, Vihis Galach. This is in Tazria, where it says, Vihis Galach, V'yes HaNesek, Lo Yigaleach, V'yiskir HaKohen, it's HaNesek, Shivas Yomim Sheinis. This Pasuk, Shal Psukim, is the halfway point for all the Psukim in the Torah. Then it says, Yichar Semeno Chazir Miyar. There's a Pasuk in Kapitel Pei in Tehillim, where it says in Pasuk Yudalit, these words, it says, Yichar Semeno Chazir Miyar, V'ziz Sodai Yirena. So this is the halfway point. The ayin of the yar is chetzim shel tilim, is the exact halfway point of all the psukim in tilim, of the letters in tilim. And then when it says, hurachum yechaber avon, so this is kapitel ayin ches, in pasuk lamed ches, so there it says, hurachum yechaber avon, loishis loishil pav, loikul chamaso, so that is chetzim of the psukim, that's the halfway point in terms of the psukim that we have in tehillim. Now, by Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asked, Vav de Gachon, this Vav that we have in the word Gachon, does it belong to the first half of the Torah or the second half of the Torah? We said it was the halfway point. So mihaigi, so mihaigi. So is it part of the last letters of the first half of the Torah or is the first letter of the second half of the Torah? That's the question that they asked. So Rav Yosef asked this question. Some have the gear, so they asked it to Abaye. Later on we'll see also another question that Rav Yosef asked to Abaye. But in any event, Amulei, either they said back to him, or Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said back to him, they say Sefer Torah, let's bring the Sefer Torah and count it up. V'im ninhu. We'll see and count it up. After all, Milo Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, didn't a similar question come up in regards to the number of times it says the word Malacha in the Torah, and there is an opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos that says that's how we darshan out Lamites Malachas, because it says the word Malacha 39 times. In any event, didn't Rabba Bar Barchana say when we were asking that question, Lo Zazu Misham Hashaviyu Sefer Torah Uminom? They actually brought out a Sefer Torah and they counted up the 39 times. So let's do the same thing over here. Let's count up all the letters before the Vav of Gachon and see if that is, then the Vav of Gachon is the last letter of the first half of the Torah or the first letter of the second half of the Torah. Why not do that over here too as well? So, Amalahu, Rav Yosef said back to them, or he said back to Abaye, Inu b'kiyeh b'chaseros v'yaseros, anan lo b'kinan. He said, they were very, very knowledgeable about words that were spelled with a missing letter or not having that letter. Or was there an extra letter in the word, or there wasn't an extra letter in the word? These are called yeseros, extra letters, or chaseros, missing letters. So therefore, they were knowledgeable. They could therefore take out a Sefer Torah and say, yes, we know this word is a four-letter word, not a five-letter word. Or vice versa, it's a five-letter word, not a four-letter word. And therefore, they could go count it up. But we're not Bakian. We don't know this. And therefore, we can't go and take out and see whether the Vav of Gachon belongs to the first half or the second half of the Torah. Similarly, boy Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asks again from Abaye, the pasuk we just brought down, his galach, do we say mehai gisa or mehai gisa? This pasuk, v'is galach, v'is nesek legaleach, etc. So is it the last pasuk of the first half of the Torah, or is it the first pasuk of the second half of the Torah? So I'm like Abaye, so Abaye says back to him, Psuka mia leisu limnuye. Before, he was the one, as I brought down the regir, says to say that it was Abaye that had answered Rav Yosef, that let's go take out a Sefer Torah and count. And Rav Yosef had responded back to him that we don't know all the yeseros and chaseros, so we can't count the letters. So Abaye says over here, okay, even though you told me we can't count the letters, but certainly we know the psukim, so let's take out a Sefer Torah and count up the psukim and see, is it the last pasuk for the first half of the Torah, or the first pasuk for the second half of the Torah? So Rav Yosef responds to him and says, no, b'psukim nami lo b'kiyinon, even the psukim we don't know, because the chiyosa Rav Acha bar Ada, when Rav Acha bar Ada came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, so he came and said, Omar, b'marava in Eretz Yisrael, paske l'l'haikro l'tlosu psukim, they broke down a certain pasuk that we had as one pasuk, they had it down as three psukim. This pasuk is Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hineinochi Bo Elecha Biav Heonan, and then the pasuk continues Bavur Yishma Om Bidabri Moch, and then Began Bchoyaminu Yolam Vayigid Moshe Estirei Om El Hashem. We have that as one pasuk, but they have that as three psukim. So we're not even Bekiim over here in the psukim. So just like the Yiseros and Chaseros, we can't go and count it up. So to even the psukim, we can't go and count it up. Okay, Gemara continues to say, "Tanur the following brayso: Chameshes alofim ushmone meos ushmonim ushmona psukim hevu psuke sefer Torah." According to the girsa that we have over here, there are other girsos which I'll say in a moment. So this girsa, the brayso has that there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah. Now there are other girsas over here that have a different amount, three or four different girsas. Some say it's 5,845, 5,842. There are other girsos as well. In any event, we'll just leave it with our girsa for right now, that there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah. Furthermore, Yasser Olav Tehillim Shmona, that Tehillim has eight more psukim than this. Now, Tosfos brings down, this is very difficult for us to understand, that you're telling me that Tehillim has more psukim than all of the Torah? Tehillim has 150 prakim. Torah has more than 150 prakim. Plus, Tosus points out in Diramasco, Yesrul of Tilim, he brings down from the Tosus Yishanim, Tema, the Al Karchach Bechumish Yesh Yoser. You have to say, you're forced to say, the Chumish has many more psukim, because even if you wanted to say, Dafilu, Im Yu Psuke Tehillim, Migimul Tevos Bavat, even if you're assuming every three words in Tehillim was a separate pasuk, which of course is not the case, but even if you took that, no pasuk has less than three words in it. So even if you took every single three words of Tehillim and said it was a separate pasuk, Eino kol kach kimoshi yesh b'chumish, that still wouldn't add up to the number of psukim that we have in the Chumash. So Tosfos Yishanim is surprised and perplexed at this. So the answer that some of the Mefarshim give is that we had just pointed out that we don't really know in the Chumash how to divide up psukim. So it's very possible that what we have maybe is 25 psukim. In another way to explain the psukim is actually one big long pasuk. Maybe they have, in fact, an entire parsha could be listed as a pasuk. Nope, that's the best suggestion. It's very problematic. It's very difficult to understand this Gemara, how someone can say, as the Tosfos points out, how someone can say that the Ilam has more psukim than Chumash. The Braisa continues and says, Chosim Imenu Divrei Yomim, and Divrei Yomim has 8 psukim less than this. Others said the gears over here, Daniel. The Vilna Gaon brings down over here, Chaser Daniel. In any event, this is what the Braisa says. And this explains why the Rishonim were called also by the name of Sofrim. Tosus brings down, in Nikru Sofrim, there's another reason why they were called Sofrim, and that's because they often gave numbers to various halachos. For example, going Avos Melachos, there are 39, Abarim Chaser Achas, and the Arba Avos Nezikin, right? When it's Hashem, we're going to be starting Bava Kama in not that much time, so they started it off with Arba Avos Nezikin. And you have Kiyos, you have many, many such examples. Okay. Any event, the Gemara continues, turn around with another bright, so the pasuk says, V'shinantem levanecha, so what does this mean? Vishinantam. So shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha, that the words of the Torah should be very, very well sharpened in your mouth. In other words, you should be able to respond. Shem yishal lecha adam davar. If somebody asks you something, you should know you're learning so well that you can answer them right away, and you won't have to be al tegam game v'tomalo. Don't go and say very slowly, it's stuttering in a very unclear fashion what the answer is. Elo on elo miyad. You should be able to go and tell them the answer right away. And Shinemar, this is based upon something in Mishlei. We turn to Lamed Omid Beis. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Amor l'chokhma achosi ot v'gomer. You go tell chokhma that you're like my sister. As Rashi says, Shetei baki ba, you should know you're learning so well, just like you know, she'achoska asur loch, just like everybody knows, now let me marry the sister. Or alternatively, Rashi says, Inami, from the end of that pasuk where it says, Umoda la bina tikra, and you should call bina your good friend. So therefore, it's teaching us how well you have to know the learning. And we have another pasuk for Mishlei, which tells us, the Omer, Koshrem al etzbiosecha, tie them around your fingers, Kosim al luach libecha, and write them on your heart, on the tablet of your heart. And therefore, this means that you should know very, very well. Furthermore, the Omer, another pasuk, this is a similar idea, Kichitzim biyad gibor, should be like arrows in the hand of a strong person, Kein b'nei hanurim, so too should the children be. In other words, the Rebbe should teach the children so well, and that they should know it so well, that they'll be able to answer like arrows. The Omer, Chitze gibor shinunim, like the very sharp arrows of a strong warrior, like a gibor. The Omer, furthermore, Chitzecha shinunim amim tachtecha yiplu, that your arrows are very, very sharp, and you'll be able to conquer all the other nations. The nations will fall underneath you. The Omer, furthermore, Ashri agever, praiseworthy is the man, Ashamili is Ashpasu, who fills up his quiver of arrows, and mehem lo yivoshu ki dabru es oivim bashar, because they will not be ashamed in this situation when they speak with their enemies. Now, what is this enemies that we're talking about here? We have this whole idea of being very, very sharp in your learning. So what are we talking about being ashamed when you're arguing with your enemies? So Gemara says, my es oivim bashar. What does it mean that you're arguing with enemies in the shar? So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba tells us that this is talking about a chavrusas, yelling at each other back and forth, each one trying to prove their point correctly. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, he says, afilu ha'av u'bino, or harav v'talmido, she'oskim b'torah b'shar echad, even though they're learning together in the base medrash, in the shar echad, so Rebbe and his student, or the father and the son, and Nasim Ayvim Zelazeh, it looks like they're arguing with each other, and they're enemies with each other, they're yelling at each other, you don't understand Tosus, no, you don't understand Tosus, back and forth. They ain't Zazim Yishav, but they don't leave from the base medrash, Ashenasim Ohavim Zezeh, but they leave very, very happy with each other, they reconciled the differences between them, they came to the correct understanding of the psukim of the Gemara, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, as vahev b'sufa, which is a play on this, we darshan it homiletically, al tikrei b'sufa, don't read it in b'sufa, in the Yam Suf, ela b'sufa, meaning at the end. So they're arguing and arguing and arguing, they're oivim originally, but then they leave the base medrash, they're very happy with each other at the end. Tana Rabbanu in the Valley Brisa, the pasuk says, "V'samtem is the right Ela." Alavachem yanav shechem. So, what is this? V'samtem. So again, we dash it homiletically, and we play on the words "v'samtem" to be "sam tom." This is like the perfect medication. A sam is a medication, a potion, and tom is the perfect, simple, straightforward. Nimshalot Torah kisam chaim. comparing the Torah to being a sam chaim, a potion of life. What does that mean? Moshe, we give the following analogy. Moshe liodim shehiko has beno makidol. A man hit his son with a very strong blow, and he wants to heal him. So he puts a bandage on the wound that his son has. He tells his son, listen, Bini, my son, calls man sharitia zu amakoscha. As long as this bandage is on your wound, you can do anything. This will be protecting you. So what you can do is echo masha noscha. You can go eat what you want. Rashi points out you can even eat things that would be normally damaging to a wound. But here, since you have the bandage on, you can do whatever you want in terms of eating. Ushasei masha noscha, and you can drink what you want. Uruchotz, and you can wash. Bein b'chavi bein mitzona, with hot or cold water. Nothing will harm you. Ana told me, sorry, you don't have to be afraid of anything because you have this bandage on, which we'll see is a comparison to having the Torah, then the Yetzirah can't attack you. However, if you take off this bandage, i.e. if you don't learn Torah, so then, so then you're going to get all sorts of pustules, all sorts of boils over here. Rashi says that nomi is a certain type of infection. Tzmachim, some sort of a boil or pustule, and that will be very dangerous because you don't have the protection anymore of the bandage, i.e. of the Torah. And therefore, you'll be ma'al enomi. And kacha kosh baruch hu amal lehem l'Yisrael. This is kosh baruch hu talking to Chai Yisrael, he says the same thing. Banai, my children. Barasi yetzahara, I created the yetzahara. That's the wound. Barasi lo Torah tavlin. I created the Torah as the tavlin, as the spice, as the antidote, as the medication for the yetzahara. If you go and learn Torah, i.e. if you keep the bandage on, then this wound, this Yetzirah, will have no shlita over you. It won't have any sway over you. Shinema, as the pasuk says, hello, imtativ, says, if you do good, so then you'll be fine. But if you don't learn Torah, atem nimsarim biyado, then you'll be handed over to the Yetzirah. Shinema, as the pasuk continues, and says, la pesach chatos robeitz. The sin, meaning the Yetzirah, will be waiting for you right at the door to lead you astray. Furthermore, below, not only that, El Shechol Masol, Matar Bach, every time you're dealing with the Yetzirah, you're not going to do well. Shenemar, the Eilecha Teshukasu, all it's going to want to do is lead you astray. V'matarotze Atamoshabo, but you have the power to go and fight this. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'ator Timshobo, but you can go and rule over the Yetzirah. You can conquer the Yetzirah, but you have to work at it. Tana Rabban, and we continue this discussion with the following brisa. Kasha Yetzahara, the Yetzahara is very, very terrible. It's very strong. It's very harsh. Shafilu Yotzro Korora, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, call the Yetzahara the Yetzahara. Shenemar, ki Yetzah Lev Adam Ra Minura, that this Yetzahara, this evil inclination inside of you is Ra, is bad. Yitzhak says, that every single day Yitzhak is coming up with new ways to go and convince you to do wrong. Shinema, as the Pasuk says, Rak, Ra, Kol Hayom. This extra word, Kol Hayom, Rashi says, teaches us that it means every day that Yitzhak is working to come up with new ways to go and lead you astray. Rabbi Shimon Levi, says, Yitzhak Shal Adam, the Yitzhak of a person, Miskaber Lobuchoyom, is constantly trying to overpower you every single day, and it wants to kill you every day. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Tzofer Rasha La Tzadik, Umavakish La Miso. The Yitzhak, the Rasha, looks at the Tzadik and wants to go and kill him. Yomali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it wasn't for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ozro, helping you out, and Yochalo, then we wouldn't be able to succeed against the Yetzahara. Shenemar, Hashem lo yazvenu v'yodo, Hashem won't leave him in your hand. In other words, without Hashem, we would be left in his hand, and we'd be in a lot of trouble. So, you have to go to one of defeat the Yetzahara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, learn the main Spanish Rabbi Shmuel, Bini, Rabbi Shmuel said, if this Yetzahara comes up to you and tries to convince you to do wrong things, bring him to the base medrash, and he won't be successful there. The Torah learning will prevent him from being successful over you. And if he's as strong as a stone, he'll be rubbed out. If he's strong as iron, he'll be shattered. Based upon the following psukim, the pasuk says, Shenemar, halo cho divari ka'esh nilmashem uchefatish yifotzeis selah. What does this mean? So, im evan hu nimach. If the Yetzahara is compared to an evan, he'll be wiped away. Shenemar, hoi kol tzomei luchu lamayim. And the omer, avonim shachu kumayim, the water will go and erase the stone. And if he is compared, as we said, barzel hu, then he'll be misbotsis, he'll be shattered. Tosa says that it's talking about the hammer will be shattered. The Yetzahara here is compared to a hammer, and it'll be shattered with the Torah learning. Tosa has an interesting medrash. He brings down that there was a very, very precious diamond, and they wanted to check out to see if it was real. So they smashed it with a heavy hammer, and the hammer broke, the iron hammer broke, and the anvil that it was on broke, and the precious diamond stayed exactly the way it was. So the Torah cannot be shattered by the Yetzirah's will, even if he's like iron or if he's like a stone. The Yetzirah can be defeated by learning Torah. The Gemara continues and says, the next part of the Mishnah said that the father has an obligation, lasio isha, to go and take a wife for his son, to help his son find the wife. Minolan, how do we know? That's because Dichsid, the Pasuk says, Kichu noshim v'holidu banim, go and take yourselves wives and have children, banim uvanos, u'kichu livneichem noshim, go and take wives for your son, v'ezmenoseichem tenula noshim, and give your daughters away to other men to be their wives. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlomo bino, your son, you have the capability, biyado, to help him go and get married, because he can go and ask a girl to get married, so you can help him go and get a girl to marry him. Elabito, biyado, he, it's not up to you. Somebody has to want to marry your daughter. So how can the father go marry off his daughter, so to say? So, hachi kamalu, so this is what the Gemara is telling us here, nitan lo, go and give to her, midei, all sorts of things, ulavasha, and give her nice beautiful clothing, unichsaya, and give her a nice dowry, and therefore, kiyechi dekotzula inshi. So people who want to go and marry her, so do all these things for her. Then the Mishnah said, lamda umnis, the father has an obligation to teach his son an umnis, a profession, the parnosa, minol. How we know that? Chisuk says, because the Pasuk says, the Yomakra, rei chayim im isha asher ahavta. This is a Pasuk that we have from Koheles, which says, look at life with the woman that you love. Now, life is parnosa, and the woman that you love is a reference to the fact that you have to get married. So therefore, im isha mamashi, if this is referring to an actual wife, so kishem shechayv lasi isha, just like a person has an obligation to go marry a woman, so too, kachayv lulam d'umnes, just like the father has to marry off his son, so too the father has to teach his son a profession. If this woman in this Koheles is referring to Torah, im Torahi, so just like kishim shechayv lulam d'Torah, chayv lulam d'umnes, kachayv lulam d'umnes, so too the father has to go and teach his son Torah, so too he has to teach him a parnasa. Then the Mishnah said, "V'yeshomim afla shito benor," that the father also has an obligation to go teach his son to swim. Where do we know that? My timer, because chayusehi, because it's pikoch nefashos, and therefore that's why if he has to go and give his son a parnasa, so he has to go and also make sure that his son can swim. Rehuda disagrees a little bit. Rehuda omer kol she'enu melamdo umnus melamdo listus. If you go and don't teach your son a profession, so then you're teaching him to be a robber. And the Gemara had questions and said, listus okadaitach? You really teach him to be a robber if you didn't teach him to be an accountant? So elo ki'ilu melamdo listus. It's as if you taught him to be a robber because he's not going to have any way to support himself, so he'll have to go out and steal. Nuru Tanakama said that the father has to teach his son an umnus. Rehuda says that if he doesn't teach him this, then it's like he teaches him to be a robber. What's the difference between the two of them? My benayu, is there any nafkamina between the two? So Gemara says, yeah, ika benayu, there is a difference, the agamre iska, if in fact he taught him to do business. According to the Tanakama, so that's enough. Even if you didn't teach him an actual umnis, but you gave him a way to make a parnasa, so that would be good enough. Whereas if Yehuda says, listen, business doesn't always work, and therefore you got to teach him some sort of a trade. When he knows how to do something, so then he'll always have that skill, and therefore he'll never go out and rob people. Then we said, the mitzvah said, kol mitzvah so'av al habein v'chulei. Now we had explained this already as saying that it means the obligations that the son has to do to the father, but the Gemara questions that and says, my kol mitzvah so'av al habein. What does it mean, the mitzvahs of the father al habein? So, elaim, if you can tell me kol mitzvah so'av demachayev abo lemiyavid lebrei, that it's the mitzvahs that the father has to do for the son, so then that can't be. Noshim chayavos, why would, in fact, women be obligated in that situation? Well, Tanya, we had already pointed out, ha'av chayev bivno lemulo lefdoso, ov in imolo. So it can't be things that the father has to do for the son, because then the mother would not be a b'chuyavis. But in the Mishnah, it said that anything that is mitzvah ha'av al habein, both men and women have to do this. So obviously, Amar of Yehuda, ha'chikam, this is where we have to learn the Mishnah, kol mitzvah sa'av hamuteles al habein, latzos li'aviv, any mitzvah that the father has to be done to him by the son, the child has to do for the father. So this is echod anoshim, the echod noshim chayavim. Both a son and a daughter have to do kibud and yira to their parents. Tanita lahad the Tanur Rabbanan, and this is expressed better in the Brisa. We had this pasuk previously, ishimov yaviv tiro. So it said ish, en liyala ish. That would only tell me a man. Ish aminayin. How do we know that a girl also has to have covered in yira for her father, yira specifically over here? Because it says in the plural, ishimov yaviv tiro, kishomer tiro, harei kishnayim. That means both the father has to be honored by both the son and the daughter. No, imkein. And why did it say ish? It should have just said Imovia Vivtiro. Matamalova Ish, because it teaches us Ish, Sipek, Biodul Asos. A man always has the ability to go and carry out this idea for his parents. But Isha, a woman, maybe not. Ain Sipek, Biodul Asos, the nation Shus Achimolet. When she gets married, she may not have the same freedom to go and do things like a son would. Amar Vidi Bar Ovin, Amar Rav. Vidi Bar Ovin said the name of Rav, Nizgar Shav. But if the woman is divorced and she doesn't have a Baal, so then Shtayim Shavim. Then both the son and the daughter both have the same law obligations to go and give kibud and yira to their parents. Tanur Bar Ovin, another bride, so Ne'amar Kabed Es Avicha V'Simecha. Then Ne'amar Kabed Es Hashem Mehonecha. We have the same lashon of kavod that you have to give to your parents and also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, by using the same lashon, it's coming to teach us that there is a similar responsibility to be mechabed your parents like there is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, it says v'nemar ishim ov yaviv tiro, and it says v'nemar es Hashem lokecha tiro v'yoso sabot. So we use again the lashon of yir by parents and yir by HaKadosh Baruch Hu again to compare them. Hish v'akosav moras ov aim moras hamokum, that you have to have similar type of awe and reverence for your parents like you have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then it says in Amar, "Umakalu avivim moshimas." If Rachmana Lusan somebody curses their parents, they die. And likewise in Amar, "Ish ish ki kalu lokav v'nosa chetel." Somebody Rachmana Lusan curses a Kodesh Baruch Hu and blasphemes a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Also terrible. You have to carry his sin. Again, we compared it to "Ish v'akos birkas avayim lebirkas amakul." Hakodesh Baruch Hu, the sin of cursing your parents and cursing Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're compared over here. However, in regards to hitting a parent, then we don't have the same thing by Kosh Baruch Hu, which is obviously impossible to hit a Kosh Baruch Hu. Abu Baka, Badi Yev, sure, there can't be any comparison because you can't obviously hit a Kosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara says that this also made sense to compare the Kavod, the Yira, and the cursing of parents and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chayim B'din makes sense because the Shloshta and Shutzim Bo, we know the Kimu Shutzim Bo Adam, you have the husband, the wife, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu each participating in making a different part of the baby. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Shutin Hein B'Yadam, there are three partners, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aviv, the Imo, like we just said. So Bizman Sha'od, the Mechabit is Aviv, the Imo, when a person goes and honors his parents, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Ma'ala Ani Aleim Ki'ilu Dariti B'Neim V'Chibduni. It's as if they're also, I'm living there, and they're honoring me. By honoring the parents, they're also honoring me. Now, Tanya, we learn the following brisa, Rabbi Yomer, Golav Yadul of Nehemi Sha'amar Vayolam, is well known before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheben Mechabit Es Imo Yosim Yaviv, that the natural tendency is that a child will honor his mother more than he will his father. Mipnei, and we turn to Lamed Aleph of Aleph, Shemishtalto B'dvar, because the mother is naturally nicer with him. Mefato, so Rashi says, there's a more of a like a loving type of relationship. With the father, it's wait till your father gets home. With the mother, it's much more of a kind of relationship, so the child will naturally go and be mechabit the mother more. Therefore, lefikach, hikdem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibud av l'kibudev. That's why it says, kabedes avicha v'yasimecha, because you naturally would honor your mother, so herefore it tells us, go and honor your father. And likewise, with all of you, it's known well to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world, shabbein misrabi yavi yosim yimo, wait till your father comes home. So that type of an idea, the child will have more awe and reference for the father. That's because he teaches him Torah. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, Lefiko chikti HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mora aim lemora av, ish imo v'yaviv tiro. It says first to have awe and reverence to your mother, and then it says to the father. Finally, we conclude today's shir. Tani Tanakh made the Rav Nachman, one of the Amoraim, was learning over the braces in front of Rav Nachman. He said, Bizman Shah the Mitzaris, Aviv Yasimo, if a person, Rachman Lusan, gives his parents trouble, so then Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, God says, Yotho Sisi Shol Darti Benem. It's a good thing I'm not living over there, because Shalmil Ilmole Darti Benem, Tseruni. If I'd be there, so they'd be giving me a hard time as well. And therefore, it's best that I take myself away from there and not be involved in this Chilul Hashem. This is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shir.